Podtacular, episode 406, I Love Bees 2, for January 23rd, 2014. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Dust Storm, and this week we are Brentless yet again, but not to fear, I actually was on the phone with him before the podcast, and he is still around, he is still out there in the interwebs somewhere. Haven't been able to get his computer working yet, but one of our loyal listeners has offered to give him one of his spare computers, so we're going to get that taken care of over this next week, and hopefully we'll see Brent back in the co-host hot seat for next week's episode. So I was able to give him all the updates on everything we talked about over the last two podcasts, and he was kind of intrigued on some of the stuff that we talked about earlier, and we have some more stuff that keeps on just revealing itself over the weeks to come and over this last week, which we'll talk about tonight. But to fill Brent's spot for tonight, we have the British folk back in the hot seat again, Jack Fire Dragon. Welcome back.
Yeah, come on,
Mr. Moltacular over here.
Oh, I like that. I'm gonna copyright, guys. Copyright.
Moltacular. Sorry, I already said it. It's automatically copyrighted.
No.
Too bad. No, I'm kidding. But yes, welcome back to the show. You've been on the show now how many times?
It's definitely in double figures. But I don't.
Do you bring your stamp card?
Do I get a free coffee at some point?
Or something like that.
Yay. Get a free Halo t-shirt from Podtacular. I already have one. Make it make two.
You get a free wristband.
Do we have wristbands?
Yes, there are Podtacular wristbands.
I want one.
I may have to send you one.
You may have to.
May have to. Yes.
We'll definitely get the Halo Mall merchandise going after this.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's a completely separate avenue to attack. But yeah, that's taking a bit of time. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Halo news type stuff and what's been going on in the Halo universe over the past week or so. A few things regarding Halo 2 anniversary have come up recently. So I believe it was either on Monday or Tuesday.
I love these.
Yes, that you just learned about 5 minutes ago.
Shh, they don't need to know that.
So for those that were into Halo back in the earlier days of Halo, which was not Jack and me sitting here, but there was an ARG, which is a alternate reality game, which basically takes aspects in the real world and uses it to advertise something. In this case, it was Halo 2. And there's a promotion called I Love Bees. And there was a website that was out there to help promote Halo 2. And it's recently gotten an update to the website. Now, there was a tweet made by Major Nelson, and he tweeted, I am fascinated by bees, their organization, resourcefulness, adaptability, navigation skills, and contribution to nature is captivating. And that started to get some attention. And then someone else from Xbox, the social marketing manager for Xbox, Graeme Boyd, I think is how you say his name, I'm not exactly sure. But he responds, there has been a real buzz about them lately. So this is actually in reference to the I Love Bees website, as a few people started responding to the thread, trying to figure out what was going on. Another Twitter poster by the handle of Mr. Pointy Head, he tweeted back at Graeme Boyd, and he says, this is the start of I Love Bees 2.0. And him and Major Nelson responded, basically not giving the official yes answer, but it's like, well, they're on to us. It's time to just leave that where it is and hope to see where it goes from there. So the I Love Bees website has been updated, and it's everyone in the Halo community right now, in terms of people that are out there making news, is speculating this is something for a launch of a Halo 2 anniversary. Now, that kind of conflicts, at least with my concept of them putting out games, because they've already confirmed that Halo 5 is supposed to be put out in 2014 for this year. So putting out that and a Halo 2 remake doesn't seem like a real good tactical move on Microsoft's part. because they're already competing with some big titles this year. So Titanfall is coming out in March. You have Destiny coming out in September, the next Call of Duty game coming out in November. And to put two Halo games out just doesn't make that much sense for 1 year.
Unless it's an expansion of Halo 5.
And I personally don't want to see them do what they did with Reach, where all they do is redesign the maps and then stick it in the current gen engine.
Well, that looks like what people are thinking. I mean, from just what I've read in the chat and what I've just quickly done some wiki searching and stuff like that, people seem to think it'll just be let's say an expansion off Halo 5, just basically like Halo 2 maps, that kind of stuff. And just why not just an extra bit of the campaign? Just stick an extra campaign mode in there, just Halo 2 remastered for Xbox One graphics.
So, from examples of what we've seen with before with the Halo CE anniversary and what they did with Reach, that's kind of the go-to assumption because that's the only way we've seen it done. But with everyone going back to Halo 3 recently, and we see a lot more Halo streamers streaming Halo 3 than Halo 4, it would almost seem to make more sense that they would actually remake the entire Halo 2 experience, because a lot of the competitive players and a lot of the streamers were really into Halo 2 and Halo 3. Some were into Reach and not as many into Halo 4. So going back to the actual game engine for Halo 2, with some tweaks and everything with the updated networking capabilities, the Xbox One, would be something I think a lot more people would be on board with than having the maps just redone and remade for Halo 5.
But I mean, if you were going to do it that way, I mean, let's just say they are going to be releasing just like Halo 2 as its standalone kind of title and then Halo 5. Which way round would you do it? Would you release Halo 5 in 2014 and Halo 2 in 2015? Or would you release it Halo 2, Halo 5 again?
I would release Halo 2 Anniversary since it's the anniversary this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I would
make sense.
I would really push for a 3-year dev cycle or a release cycle for the actual mainline franchise and push Halo 5 back 1 year.
I mean, I mean that makes sense, you know, development wise, but you know, people are kind of getting built up around Halo 2. I mean, maybe that's their thinking, the fact that they're trying to build up everything by saying Halo 2, release Halo 2, then everyone's still kind of like a Halo high, release Halo 5. Maybe that's what they're trying to do. They're not really showing Halo. They don't really care that much about Halo 2 in terms of sales-wise. They just want to build it as kind of like a hype.
But even then, you're competing with your own customers because a lot of people are going to want to go back and play that Halo 2 experience, and then you're splitting that between Halo 2 and Halo 5, if that was the case.
Mm.
And you only really want one game to be a focus at any one given time, especially if for your market.
But I mean, so, maybe they don't release the multiplayer. I mean, that sounds awful to say that, but maybe they just release just as a campaign. Maybe it's just an arcade release. Who knows? Just arcade release Halo 2.
With how everything has been going with how people have perceived Halo, it almost seems like it's not the right idea to release two Halo games in the same year.
Well, technically, this would actually be three because of Spartan Assault as well.
So I'm talking... Well, yeah, technically. Well,
when did Spartan Assault drop onto the Xbox One?
It drops, so that's going to be one of our other things, but the supposed drop date is January 31st.
Okay, exactly.
But if you think about it, Spartan Assault's been out since October.
Well, it has. Well, yeah, I guess. But still, you're still thinking about three
or November,
games in 2014 on the Xbox One.
On the Xbox 360, three games. Two games on the Xbox One. Well, no, I'm sorry. One game on the 360, two games on the Xbox One.
Yeah. I mean, that's still a lot.
Yeah, even for... I mean, Call of Duty games only come out once a year. They don't put out... Like, the two different developers don't put out a game for both years. So it just doesn't make sense to release... In my mind, it doesn't make sense to release both Halo 2 Anniversary and Halo 5 in the same year.
Well, also, I mean, with Halo 2, I know it's like a kind of little side point... Who is developing, if it is Halo 2 Anniversary, who's developing this at the moment? Is it 343? I mean,
well, figuring that a lot of the stuff is already there, and if they're probably just retexturing stuff, I bet they have groups like Certain Affinity and probably a few different other studios working on this project.
Well, I would hope so, because I think one of the main problems with Halo 4 was that they were split over so many things, and they were new. And I think everyone wants them to devote so much time onto Halo 5 that if Halo 2 comes out, the Halo 2 Anniversary, that people are going to say, like, what are you doing? Why are you wasting time with this? Focus on Halo 5. I think people will get kind of annoyed. People who are maybe out of the loop, like me.
I would completely agree with you, too, because there's just certain things with Halo 5 that they need to get right that with the response that we've had with Halo 4, they can't afford to not spend as much time as with Halo 5 as they can.
Because Halo 5, I think, is huge. I mean, this is their last chance.
Yeah, Halo 5 is the make or break title.
Yeah, if this fails, Halo is done. There's no point making Halo 6. Don't waste money. Because I wouldn't say that, because if Halo 5, you know, you got games like Destiny, and who knows what Titanfall's going to do. I mean, Titanfall could spawn a huge series, who knows, it might just be a standalone game, might spawn a series, but Destiny is going to be hopefully being played for the next 3-4 years, and they've got another COD coming in
longer you've than got, that
well yeah I mean you've got another COD coming in, you've got all these huge titles, you've got Elder Scrolls Online, you know, there's so many things coming in that if Halo 5 doesn't really pull in the numbers, I don't see why you'd waste money making Halo 6 if it doesn't do well.
So the thing that 343 has to realize, and they have to go back to the mentality of how Halo originally was built, is that they're making the game that they want to play. Mm. Bungie didn't make Halo 1 originally to sell millions to people, and it just happened to turn out that way. And I think that's one of the mindsets that got 343 in trouble for Halo 4, was that they were trying to sell the game towards a mass amount of gamers and try to get to the casual gaming audience, where they didn't really focus on what the real Halo fans wanted in the game.
The weird thing is, I was
they didn't stay true to themselves.
I was having this talk with guys at work today, and we were talking about films and how I'm so angry at so many of these horror titles, because you look at all these things like Paranormal Activity. The first one was good. Then they made 2, 3, 4, 5. They're all utter crap. You do the same with Saw. I mean, personally, I like some of the other Saw films, but, you know, Saw 1 was everyone's favorite. They made 7, and people are just like, well, why? Why are you bothering? So it's the kind of thing, like, your first one is always going to be the greatest film. Film works the same in video games most of the time.
Well, it's because
they're not making it for money. They're making it because they want to make it.
Well, for film and games, it's like, the first one is pretty stellar. The second one is usually a miss, and then the third one is either a complete bomb or a very good ending to a trilogy.
Mm.
Like, there are some good trilogies out there where the third movie is really good.
Name one, apart from Lord of the Rings.
Dang it, that was the one I was going to use.
No, you can't have Lord of the Rings, because you can't say The Godfather.
The original trilogy for Star Wars, the last movie was pretty good.
Okay, I'll give you that one. And even, actually, people said, the third one of the second trilogy, people like the best, actually. A lot of people like the third one. Yes. They actually said it was half bad, which is kind of weird. You shouldn't really be saying it's not half bad, but you shouldn't really say that.
Wow.
The games, unfortunately, have the same tendency. I mean, I would hate to throw Mass Effect in that kind of ring, but obviously you'd have to throw Mass Effect in there.
Well, Mass Effect was a game that progressively got better.
Until the ending. Yeah, Matrix. Good luck with that.
I never had a... Okay. I know a lot of people hate The Matrix. I know a lot of people hate Keanu Reeves. I am not one of those people.
I loved all the Matrixes. I mean, Matrices, I probably should say. But, you know,
all the Matrix movies. That's the easiest way to do it.
Because, you know, the second one, I know there was some crappy CGI, but it was more fun, the fighting. You know, I'll throw Transformers in there and say I loved all of them. Shocking, really, I know. But, you know...
Yeah, the game dude just said Transformers.
He just said it in the chat. Oh, but... We're getting a little bit off topic. I do this a lot. But you know,
no, it makes sense, though, for the whole, like, trilogy aspect of it. And for Halo 5, it's going to be the second... Well, I mean, it's not a trilogy anymore, but it's going to be the second game of the Forerunner saga. And... Even not just from a trilogy standpoint, but just from how the audience currently holds Halo to a certain standard, it's going to be Halo 5 is going to determine if Halo remains a staple game within the Xbox offering or not.
But I mean, if you're being perfectly honest, what's going to do that, the campaign or the multiplayer?
Multiplayer.
Obviously, because if you look at Halo 2...
I mean, it needs a solid campaign, don't get me wrong, but it needs to... Like, the experience needs to be what Halo fans, not what general gamers, want to see in a first-person shooter.
Well, I think that's the whole point of employing Ghosty Army and Dursky.
But, so that brings up another, not necessarily issue, but a concern that I have. Because I got into a Twitter conversation with a couple of Ready Up Live guys today, and one of the things that I tried to bring up was that you can't focus on one aspect of the game, especially with multiplayer. You have to you have to really dig down to what is it at the core that Halo is supposed to be. What is it with Halo 1, Halo 2, and Halo 3? What was in that formula that made everybody happy? And it wasn't that there was a bunch of different game modes. And the Soterios, which is one of the RUL guys who I was talking to, said that there's a big difference between what is considered to be normal Halo and what is considered to be competitive Halo. And that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
You can't make like multiple different experiences. And I kind of put Griffball as an exception to this because it's just its own crazy thing, which is still pretty awesome. But
again, that wasn't invented by either of the studios, was it? Let's think about this.
No. 343 implemented it into the game.
Well, so did Bungie.
And yeah, but it was an afterthought. Well, so was Invasion and, or not Invasion, Infection and Flood.
Of course, Infection came from Halo 2. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was incredible.
So it's, like, aside from those two things, which is kind of like staples that have been built off the community, and it's kind of in its own little area. But if you look at the core stuff, like Capture the Flag, King of the Hill, Oddball, Slayer, and all that stuff, you can't really have too much of a dynamic a difference between this competitive side and this casual side. You need something that is kind of the standard or baseline experience for a multiplayer that can be built up and that can be altered into these separate little experiences. But that base needs to be set. And with Halo 4, they messed around with the formula so much and trying to add all the support and tactical mods and armor abilities and loadouts that it just messed with the system and it broke a lot of things.
They've just tried to overcomplicate things so much that I think they just need to go back to just focusing on the core and then worry about maybe just glamoring up the Halo 5 later on.
I mean, I know Father Microsoft up here wants to sell units and get all the money from Halo and milk the thing as much as they can. But if they want a successful franchise, they have to focus on what the Halo core community wants, what the Halo fans want, not what gamers in general that play every other first-person shooter want on their console. And the community that loves Halo will get other people to play Halo. I mean, back in the day when Halo was out there for Halo 1 and Halo 2, it's not like everyone was out there going to play Halo. Everyone was, oh, what's this interesting game? And people were bringing people into the Halo experience. It wasn't just a vast, I mean, there was probably marketing for Halo out there, but it wasn't something that was widely known. And from things that I've heard friends say with their origin stories, even with Goose was introduced to Halo by her husband.
Yeah,
and that's why
she walked in when they were playing, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of the experiences that you hear from people behind Halo getting into Halo was someone else got me involved.
Exactly.
It wasn't a marketing ploy. It wasn't that it was an advertisement on a TV or an Xbox or anything. It's because one of their friends got them into the experience, and they have to get back to that mentality.
That's exactly what they did with me. A friend just basically came and saying, "Hey, look, guys, I've got Halo PC. Let's install it." We saw it, and then we basically scammed serial keys off like a not illegal, but we got serial keys. My friend customized an internet access for LAN network for us. Like, again, we weren't supposed to do that in our boarding school. He did it anyway. We actually had people coming in from like the higher years, and usually the higher years don't talk to the lower years, but they were coming in to play Halo with us, and it was just like this is my experience. Like, I like I said, when I went to obviously Ace's wedding to meet you guys for the first time, I never experienced a LAN other than the one I did for Halo 1 back in the day. That was my first LAN in what would have been like 7 years.
Oh, that was a fun LAN.
That was fun LAN. That was.
I mean, we didn't have that many people at it. We only had 7 people, but it was still fun. No,
it didn't matter. It was just the fact that you were chilling with pizza and with soft drinks and just screwing about. That's what it's got to be.
The thing with that is Halo is that unique experience. You don't get that experience with any other first-person shooter.
No, you don't. Because
what other first-person shooter can you go into a LAN and have a party there and have everyone just enjoy the game? You can't do that with Call of Duty that easily. Battlefield, I don't even know if you can do that over LAN.
I will say, though, Call of Duty's trying. Apparently, from what I've heard, they're releasing certain game types that are planning to do that. Because apparently Call of Duty's releasing Trouble in Terrorist Town. Apparently, there's something for that. There's a Michael Myers. But it's actually being released by Infinity Ward themselves. They're actually customizing the game types. They're trying. They are now trying to do that, get custom game side. Because that is one thing that no one's ever been able to do like Halo, is the custom game side. No one has ever done that. as good.
I mean, Halo has a lot going for it, but it has so much going against it right now because of all the additional things and that have been piled onto the experience. And 343 just needs to dial it back a little bit, go to how Halo was built from the ground up originally, and go back to some of those core facets that the Halo fans fell in love with. And not all add all this extra stuff on top of it. Now, you do have to think about ways to push the game forward, but you have to make them done in such a way where it's, the fans are still going to want to play the game, and it's going to be something that is interesting to them. You don't want to do it in a way that's going to attract more general Xbox gamers, but it's something that needs to be... whoever comes up with the idea at the studio feels like they love it and they feel it would be a great addition to Halo, not because of how it would go with the Xbox experience, but because they think it would actually be a good addition to Halo.
I mean, yeah, I completely agree, but I do feel that also when they miss out on the competitive side, that was the absolute killer point for me when Halo 4 failed. Because I really think with the competitive side, like if MLG took up a Halo, if MLG took up Halo 5 again, then they're helping to publicize Halo 5. People are getting involved to Halo 5. People are watching Twitch streams. You know, there's a reason why League of Legends became so big, because of these Twitch TV guys only doing competitive side. And I think now, because of places like Twitch, that now people make so much money off Twitch and all these competitive things. People want to stream it. If people want to stream it, people want to watch it. People want to watch it. People want to play it. And right. only the competitive side really do the streaming. I mean, we obviously do the casual streaming, but we don't bring in the views. It's the people, the really hardcore gamers, who bring in the views, who play it to like professional levels. So I think, although I absolutely agree, they do need to go back to their roots of the non-competitive side, there still needs to be that area for the competitive side to really flourish.
Yeah, there does, but that doesn't need to be targeted whenever they're making the multiplayer experience. It needs to be something that's just part of the experience.
But it needs to be important. It does need to be an important factor.
Yeah, it's something that needs to be considered. And one of the things that another random Twitter thread that I had a while ago was that the learning curve for Halo originally was steep from playing casually to playing competitively. Absolutely. And that needs to be there. It doesn't need to be this, oh, you get a comeback, you get all these extra experience points. No. It's a tough life. It needs to be that way.
Yeah.
If you want to play... So, I can understand having the XP system for unlocks and things, but in terms of skill and being able to show that, the ranks in-game need to come back for one.
Bring a ranking system, please! I don't think there's been a bigger plea of 343 than bringing in a ranking system that shows in-games. Because,
well, I mean, a big effort for that is everyone's going back to Halo 3.
I know, because I know they said something about boosting and selling accounts, but when they were boosting and selling accounts, your game was thriving, so why should you care? You know, it's the kind of thing, like, that's what people want. People want a ranking system.
Yeah, I want a ranking system. I mean, they can put systems in place to help kind of detect that, too.
Obviously, but I don't see why they should. I mean, obviously, I want them to police it so they don't have, like, D-rankers, boosters, all that stuff. I don't want to see loads of them. But if a few slip through the net, I don't see why it's such a big deal.
No, it's not. And it's one of those things that... It's the ranking system that they did for Halo 4 was kind of a, like, yes, we screwed up. Here's something that we can try to fix, and it didn't really work. Because who honestly goes and checks their ranking after they're done playing it when it takes, like, seven games before the ranks even update?
Yeah, and when the ranking system is completely and utterly flawed.
So
it was so flawed. I don't even want to go into it. No, it's just not too many.
I forgot how we got on this topic. I know we were talking about Halo 2 Anniversary.
Well, we were talking about why we didn't want them to basically, you know, release Halo 2 and Halo 5 at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
We wanted to focus on Halo 5. And we got a huge rant about Halo 5 that happens every single time you're going to talk about Halo 5. Yeah. If we want to get back to Halo 2, we can. But just we'll leave that for another podcast near the time.
We'll end that discussion there.
Yeah. The whole podcast will just be that if we do that now.
It's one of those things where, as a Halo fan, I'm really on edge to see that they're considering putting out two games in 1 year, and on top of that, to release Halo 5 2 years after Halo 4 when the previous trilogy was done on a 3-year release cycle. So,
how big is Halo 3? In comparison to Bungie, how big Bungie was in the end. I don't know. I don't know the size.
In the end? With 343, they're contracting a lot of it out now.
I mean, obviously they're expanding with everyone they're employing and with, as you said, contracting out. But I mean, if you were to say, like, 100%...
At 343 as just the people that work in the studio, I would say maybe about the same. I mean, I don't know for sure. I don't know what the stats are on that. But if I had to conjure a guess, I would say probably about the same.
I mean,
maybe during the development of Halo 4, less. But probably now when they're in full swing with Halo 5 and after the whole Halo 4 stuff, they're probably at the same capacity as the Bungie studio was at the end of their turn when they were doing Halo Reach.
Mm. But I mean, you know, I have lost now. Okay, so yeah. I mean, I think what maybe is your worried and one thing I'm worried is with the 2-year crossover is because unlike with Call of Duty, which has those 2-year crossovers, they never revamped the multiplayer. Halo is something that needs to have the multiplayer completely revamped, and as we all know, completely changed. And that's something that you and I
probably
don't done in 2 years.
Yeah, it needs to be revamped in a way that is just bringing back and refining some of the older game components.
Mm.
It doesn't need all the extra armor abilities and tactical mods and everything. And I'm not saying necessarily take those out completely, but those are kind of some cool things to play with in custom games. But in your experience for matchmaking and multiplayer, that needs to be really ironed out and really just stripped down to the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess not the bare minimum, but the bare essentials of what people have conceived as Halo, the Halo multiplayer experience.
Because everyone used to say was like, why don't you just have them as things you can turn off in the custom game options?
Exactly, yeah.
So I don't see why you just don't do that. Because just like, do you want to have armor lock on? Yes, I do want to have armor lock on. I will make a... They let you do specific loadouts, for crying out loud, in custom games. Why would you then, in actual matchmaking, choose not to do the same? You should have had game types that actually had the ability to completely ignore that and just do something. I mean, they tried to do that with Legendary Slayer near the end, obviously, when they did all that stuff, but by that time, obviously, Halo 4 was dead. Not dead, but done pretty much on the way down.
I wouldn't say dead. I would never say dead for Halo. I would say not in the forefront of gamers' minds.
You can never say dead, given that it still pulls in 10,000 people in the multiplayer every single day now. I mean, we went back the other day when we were doing some filming. I was still surprised, like 10,000? Seriously? Wow. I really thought that it would be, at this point, maybe be 5,000 plus.
Halo's not dead. It's fallen off the radar, but it's not dead.
Mm.
And people that say Halo dead, I think, are just stupid.
I didn't mean
to be
say
perfectly
it.
Honest.
Don't call me stupid. I didn't mean to say it. It was slip of the tongue. Slip of the tongue.
Well, but I know what you mean. I know you mean it's not necessarily dead, but I mean it's fallen off the radar. It's not in the mindset of a lot of different gamers out there for Xbox, but for people like us and for a lot of other community leaders and members that are out there that really love Halo, Halo is still a valid title to go play. I play it every week, multiple times a day.
But isn't that a good thing
times out of the week.
I think it's a good thing now, though. Not that obviously the Halo 4 lost all its edge, but now people, obviously looking forward to Halo 5, but Halo 4, they had so much to live up to. Now people think, well, they've not really got much to live up to anymore.
You see people that care for Halo still playing Halo 3 and playing Halo 4. And I say people playing Halo 3 care about Halo because they're making a statement. They're not necessarily supporting 343 in the game that they're making, but they're supporting Halo as a franchise because they want to see more of the game style of Halo 3 brought back, and that's a good way to voice their opinion on it. So they're as equally supportive of the franchise as people still playing Halo 4. The people playing Halo 4 are like, we still like Halo, and we appreciate what 343 is doing as a studio. And the people that are playing Halo 3 is like, we love Halo, we want to see Halo brought back to its former glory.
But maybe that's why I feel like Halo CE anniversary was. Maybe this is just Halo 2's anniversary, it's just fan service. It's just a little bit of fan service to say, yeah, we know you love those days, but this is all you're going to get from it. I think it's just a bit of fan service, really.
Yeah, that'd be unfortunate, though.
I feel like that's what it is, though. It's them saying, look, we know you loved it. Well, literally, they think that that's like druggies. You know, like, we're constantly piping up drugs. We'll now just slightly we'll TP you off here with like Halo 2 anniversary, make you slowly forget about Halo 2 anniversary. Just bring back some of those memories, but we'll really just make you forget about it. And then you can go on to our next game. I feel like it is just fan service, which in a way sounds bad, but maybe won't be such a bad thing, because it'll stop people talking about Halo, the Halo 2 days.
Because
a lot of people still don't mean people talk about the Halo 1 days much anymore, apart from, you know, people who really talk about the Halo 1 days and they never stop.
There's some good days for Halo 1 PC that I remember, especially for Custom Edition. Custom Edition was so much fun.
I remember just playing in that like huge like bedroom CEC.
I don't know if I remember that map.
It was a huge like living room.
Oh gosh.
And it had, like a huge books and chairs.
People actually did that with Halo CE. Wow. Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Oh gosh. Anyways, moving on. So yeah, if you want to check out the I Love Bees website, you can do that. ilovebees.com. It's been updated. And there's a video about the I forget who did it. It was either Halopedia or some Halo website did actually kind of a documentary thing on the I Love Bees thing during the promotional period for Halo 2. So if you want to check that out, it's on YouTube. And you can check out the website as well.
You know what I love about the I Love Bees? This is literally like a beehive, exactly what it is as well. I love how they choose that. We are literally the drones who go around trying to spread the news, try and get all their stuff. While Microsoft, the queen bee, just sit there just going, yep. Yep, money for us. Yep, keep bringing me that sweet honey. That's exactly what they're doing. That is exactly what they're doing right now.
That's not what they did for Halo 4. That's what they need to do for Halo 5, though, is get the fan base to actually pull people in for the game, not try to go out and reach to people for the game.
Well, I think that's what this is. It's just like we're drone workers. You know, do the work for us, please. You know, we don't want to really just do anything until near the time.
Why do you think I have like 4 or 5 343 exclusive shirts?
You know, Portacular, you deserve one of those Microsoft like MVP things.
Maybe.
You started it was 67? Didn't you start at 67?
I started at 163.
Oh, 163, sorry, I thought it was 67.
162.
162. So, I mean, yeah, you've done over 200 episodes, you know, come on.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Well, Goose and Greenskull got it, which is really cool for them.
Well, Greenskull's been getting it for the last couple of years, hasn't he?
You only get it once.
I thought you get one every single year.
No.
I swear he got another one before.
I think you only get it once. Like once you're Microsoft MVP, you're recognized as Microsoft MVP.
Huh. I'm gonna Google that. I swear that you got it like on the year, like if you've been a good like help in the year.
Maybe? I don't think so though.
Okay. I would bow down to your thing. I don't know in this kind of thing. I mean, you know more than me, but I swear, like he said, like I got it this year and I got it last year when he talked about his award, like or something. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. A lot of people in the chat room right now are talking about things that they would change, and save those for when we actually do those podcasts, guys. Yeah. Because we're gonna have some giant roundtables for that. They're gonna be crazy. Believe me. The next thing that we're going to talk about Halo news-wise is there's been some things going around that Halo 5 release date is going to be announced at E3 this year.
It makes sense.
Yeah. So there was a tweet that went out by some Microsoft rep that they were going to be announcing release dates for a few Microsoft titles, and there's a list of 3 or 4 games on there, and Halo was in there. And a lot of people are assuming because of how close the time frame is for Halo release for Halo 5 that it's going to be announced at E3. So I'm hoping if 343 is listening that I might get invited out to E3.
Ooh.
To help cover this. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I have a quick question. And obviously, I don't know if you know how much it costs, but I believe for the halftime it costs $3 million to put on like a 30-second advert. Would you suggest to Microsoft putting a Halo 5 advert, however short, a 30-second advert in the Super Bowl halftime? Would you think that'd be a good investment?
With the current state of Halo, no.
So you don't think people would care?
I think people would see it as something cool. I don't think it would gain. It's basically doing what they did for Halo 4. They're trying to reach out to the general audience masses when they need to be focusing on the core Halo fans. I just don't think it would be as effective.
Mm.
Maybe for the Super Bowl after the launch of Halo 5, that would make sense. But I wouldn't. Personally, I wouldn't say for this year.
Because, I mean, what we've seen in previous years is they've announced a Halo game about a year now, at the year before's E3, haven't they? They've always announced, like.
Well, Halo's been announced.
Well, I mean, it's been E3... announced, but you saw more. I mean, for example, we saw the Halo...
So
we saw,
E3...
like, the Heartbeat trailer at the last E3. Not the last
E3. So E3, we're going to see probably a trailer for Halo 5 and a Halo 5 release date.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll see a gameplay trailer or anything. We might. I mean, it's close enough to where we could see something like that, but...
Well, I mean, what E3 is June 5th, right? June 3rd through 5th.
Yes.
Okay.
Something like that.
Early June. Okay. So, I mean, at that point, the game's got to be close to being finished. I mean, assuming a November release here. We're assuming November release, right? Probably.
Yeah.
Sometime around there. They like to contend with Call of Duty. If you try and contend with Destiny in September, you are setting yourself up for a fall.
I mean, it almost seems like the same with Call of Duty.
Well, I think Bungie were the September guys. People think they want to be in November guys. It's whatever. But, you know, at June time, you'd expect them to be putting the finishing touches on Halo, wouldn't you?
Yeah, around this point, you would think that...
I mean, if they are releasing it this November, I would say by E3 time, you've got to be thinking about, you know, alpha, beta releases at that point.
Yeah. I would have to go back and see where they started releasing stuff for the previous games, but it seems...
It's just not enough time.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's enough time for them to actually get all their ducks in a row for this game.
Unless everything, which would make so much sense, if basically maybe a year before Halo 4 came out, a section went to make Halo 5. And they said, and that's why Halo 4...
They were in full-fledged production for Halo 5 during the final year and a half of Halo 4 production.
I mean, obviously, that's why Halo 4 failed, but maybe even earlier than that, maybe. Like, a whole section basically Halo 5.
But the question in my mind is, hiring all these different, like, multiplayer people, like Dursky and Ghost Yami and those guys, this late into the development phase...
They're there for
Alpha. Are they really working on multiplayer this late into the game with how multiplayer fell flat on its face in Halo 4?
That just doesn't
make sense.
I can't believe it. I think they're probably in there for alpha and beta testing. I think that's why they're there. They're bringing them in as people who they say are upstanding members of the community who, you know, probably have some maybe background knowledge in that kind of field. But they're there primarily to say, you know what, that seems like a good part of the Halo game. That seems like a silly part. Take that out. I think they're there for alpha, like even like pre-alpha testing. What would you call pre-alpha testing?
Well, yeah, pre-alpha.
I mean, I think they're there pre-alpha. I mean, personally, I don't see why they needed jobs, but unless they're doing more. If they're doing more, obviously, then fine. But from what I think the main reason they're there is to do that. I think they're to do pre-alpha testing.
So, I mean, Ghost Army is there for testing stuff.
Exactly. And that's what Dursky's there for. I mean, Bravo. No, yeah. Bravo's been there for a couple of years now.
Bravo's community management now.
Yeah, so, and Jess is...
She's... Basically, he's taken over Allison's spot from the community management side. I forget what the position is actually called.
But I know her title was community manager now, obviously. She's probably community lead, maybe.
Community community relations, something like that. I'm not sure what her proper title is.
Yeah. So, it would be interesting to see that. I mean... It's always nice when they hire from people you know. But I still don't know about... I mean, I've told you this before, but I still don't know about those employments. Because if they're there just to, like, map... If they're just there to do multiplayer tests, you know, first of all, why give them a job? But I mean, just play them out there, just, like, pay them on commission kind of thing. You don't need to give them a full-fledged job. Unless, like I said, they're doing other things. But there's so many other people that I think they really should be going to, not to competitive Halo players. Although I know competitive important, you also need people there who aren't just their sole focus isn't just competitive Halo.
Yeah, I agree.
And they are. You need other people there. You should give other people jobs who know about Halo.
There's certain things, just time frame wise, that I have like some issues with. And I mean, no offense to the guys that have been hired there to test out the multiplayer experience for Halo 5. I'm sure they're going to do a good job, make sure that a lot of the core stuff is there for the game. Because, I mean, a lot of those guys have been there since Halo 1, so they know what the experience for Halo is.
Yeah, they've been through it all.
So it's not necessarily that they're looking specifically to go for the competitive side of things, but they're going to hopefully just be looking for what's going to make the Halo multiplayer experience just that much better and kind of going back to how it was formerly.
I feel they will have a bias there towards the competitive
side. I agree. But I think that's where a closed alpha among community leaders. So people like me, people like Jess, people like the Forward Into Dawn guys, people like the 405th guys and the HBO guys, like get all those community
and
leaders
the Halo
in a closed alpha and really drive feedback from leaders in the community that have been with the franchise and promote the franchise and get ready to hype the franchise out for Halo 5. Also, I mean, that's really one of your best bets is to, I mean, you said it earlier, they're basically working us like work bees to push all this stuff out for Halo, and why not do that with an alpha? Why not get those guys hyped for the game, get them involved, get them to give you feedback on what they feel the Halo experience should be like, and then ingest all that information and then come out with a stellar title? That's the way to do it.
I mean, that's what they did with the big update. They got Ninja, they got Neighbor, they got Crazed by Default, they got all those six guys out. I can't remember the other three. I think also Green Skull went and the other two. I feel really bad that I don't remember the other two were.
Dursky Green, Ninja.
Ninja Neighbor. Did
Crazed.
Did Ghost Girl? He must have done.
Maybe.
But yeah, but that's what they did with those six guys. They invited people in the community to go out and actually look at the game. And they tested. And obviously, the decision was good because a lot of people liked what they did in the updates. It was far too late, but they liked what they did in the updates. I liked what they did in the updates.
Right, yeah.
So that's what they need to do again, but on a much bigger scale than just six. They need to do like proper testing. I'm talking about it maybe not just like a weekend thing. Then they need to do real proper testing, like maybe for a week.
Well, it needs to be like a 2 week alpha thing.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's how long the betas were in the past.
Would you travel to Seattle to do that? Or
I probably would.
I don't mean would you? I mean like would you think that's what they would do? Is make you travel to Seattle? Or would you do what you did with Titanfall?
No, they could do what they did with Titanfall. They do a closed alpha.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know a lot of the lead community managers for Halo, they would be keeping quiet about it.
Well, obviously,
They're not ones to go out and just spill the beans on stuff. Like, I know some stuff about Titanfall got leaked out, which is unfortunate, but...
And would you do a beta? Like a global beta for Halo 5?
I would do a... Like first come first serve beta, where it's like the first maybe 30,000 people to sign up will get to participate in the beta.
Maybe if you buy Halo 2 Anniversary, you get a beta code to Halo 5.
Oh, let's not do this. Let's not do this.
You know Microsoft. You know that could easily be that.
Yeah.
That could be a huge reason why they're releasing it. Hey, you can buy the Halo 2 campaign. Oh, and by the way, you can also buy this. I mean, that's effectively what Halo 3 ODST was, wasn't it?
But Halo 3, in my opinion, Halo 3 ODST was a very good game and has the best campaign out of the entire Halo franchise.
I don't disagree with the fact that Halo 3
ODST. And Firefight, when it was working, was
yeah,
wonderful.
But that's not when there's no multiplayer into it. Maybe Halo 2 Anniversary will have a certain mode. Maybe it'll have a special, like, flood mode. Who knows? You know, a revamped flood mode, or maybe a kind of like a wave.
This doesn't change the fact that we're trying to release two. AAA titles within the same year. It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, but I don't think it will be. I don't think it's going to be a AAA title. If they release Halo 2 Anniversary, it will not be a AAA title. It shouldn't be worth any more than $30, I think, if I'm being honest. Because
Anniversary?
Halo,
if they redo the entire experience, if they actually like redid using the Halo 2 engine, I would say like $40 minimum.
What would you have paid for Halo CE Anniversary?
I would have paid $60.
I would not have done.
If it was like the entire experience remastered, I would do it.
But how it was done
here, $40 probably.
I paid, I think it was 35 quid for an anniversary. I got it a day early. And
which is about $40. No. How does it translate?
So £30 is about 45, maybe $50.
So okay, $50.
But no, sorry, no, 35, I said 35. So it was actually at 50 plus, plus 50 plus.
Oh.
So, you know, I paid near full length price.
Shouldn't have been.
I believe it was when it first came out, something like that.
No, because they sold it for 40 up, like on launch date, it was $40 for anniversary here in the States.
Maybe it was just Amazon being annoying.
I don't know. But as far as some of the stuff just regarding the whole pricing thing. I for Halo 2 anniversary, $40 I think would be a good price. And depending on how they like, if they actually redid the entire experience, I probably wouldn't hesitate to buy it for $60.
What, just the campaign or the multiplayer as well?
Campaign and multiplayer.
Okay. Well, if you're releasing multiplayer, but I think that's the whole point.
If they did something very similar to how they did with Halo CE anniversary, then $40.
Yeah. Well, I think it's definitely going to be something closer to Halo CE anniversary than a remaster.
Yeah, that would kind of be unfortunate in my opinion.
But I think that's what it's going to be. I don't think they ever want to look back. Microsoft, I mean, they are technically looking back, but they just want to say, well, this is anniversary. Don't forget our other games, but we have moved on now. I think that they never like to go back. So, you know, I don't think you're going to get a full remastering for a title game. So.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it makes a lot of people sad, but.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's some of the news on the Halo 5 release date, which is what we originally were talking about. That's kind of all the news that we have outside of the Halo Bulletin for this week. So we're going to go ahead and jump into that.
That's Bulletin Blast.
Bulletin is a little bit shorter this week than what we've seen normally.
Mm-hmm.
There are some special updates coming to the matchmaking system because of the recent win of the Hawks over the 49ers.
Bastards. They are not going to win Super Bowl. They're not going to win it.
I will leave that to the people that follow football, because I don't.
How about me? I follow football. Hey!
That's why I said I'm going to leave it to the people that follow football, because I don't.
I'm a Broncos fan through and through, and don't say I'm a Broncos fan because I've been sporting Manning. I'm a Broncos fan since they had the likes of Jay Cutler in their team when they were utter crap. I've been following them since then. Broncos will win. I hope they do. The last time I was there, Baltimore. I was in damn Baltimore when Baltimore beat Denver. Well, near Baltimore anyway, with you. I can't believe that happened. Had to be in the one city that has to beat Denver.
Okay.
Denver going to win it. Okay? Denver will win.
I have no say. I don't care. It's football. It's beyond me. And yeah, I'll probably watch the game and just, like, whatever happens, happens.
Peyton Manning will destroy Richard Sherman.
Anyways.
And so will Demaryius Thomas.
Back to the multiplayer side of things. If you guys remember the Turkey Bowl back during American Thanksgiving, then they're kind of bringing that back in a different kind of spin for matchmaking. So on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this weekend, next weekend, depending on where you're listening to the podcast, January 31st through February 2nd, they're going to have the Halo Spartan Bowl. So they're coming up with a new map and refining the game type a little bit to bring back the football ricochet variant into matchmaking.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to see that in the matchmaking playlist for the Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah, because when the Turkey Bowl came out, it didn't really work well as football. It was a fun game type, but it didn't work well as football.
It was an interesting concept.
Yeah.
But it needed a lot of refinement.
Mm.
And they said in here that they're going to theme the colors between the two different teams. So you're going to see,
you're going to see
the team colors on the two different teams.
Oh, really?
So I guess whenever you're going into matchmaking, if you get put on the team that's you're against, is going to be really ironic.
I will lose purposely.
Uh huh. That'd be interesting if they took the stats from the entire weekend and then compared it to like the winning and losing of the teams.
You would
or
be
by actually, how much?
You would be shockingly surprised. I bet you how similar they would be. You know
like,
when they
like
do
based
that.
based on how many points like one team has over the entirety of everyone playing on that weekend versus the points that the other team has, and see how that relates to the actual in football score. That would be an interesting statistic, and I hope they do that. That'd be really awesome if they did.
Did you ever hear about Paul the Psychic Octopus?
You just spoke gibberish to me.
Okay, there was an octopus basically in Germany.
Oh, yes, okay, yes,
for the,
I remember
the World
this.
Cup back in 2010.
Basically, he predicted
8 matches correctly. The professionals predicted 2. It's just an octopus would basically predict the correct winner of each match.
You know that's purely coincidental, right?
Oh, of course it is, but you know, it's just great to know that an expert can't predict it, but an octopus can. It's beautiful.
Yeah. That's,
now look at the next one. I never even knew that the Team Slayer top 200 was still even going. I had actually completely forgotten about it.
Yeah,
I
know season one just ended, actually.
Well, I think it was announced back when they did 401, the Brevet Mutation thing, wasn't it?
Because we started talking. Still going.
No, well, like I mean is that they announced it then, didn't they?
No, it's been going on for a while.
How long is a while?
6 weeks?
That's about when Brevet Mutation came out, Dust.
Oh.
Because remember...
That was before the break. Oh, that was before the break. That's right. So yes, it would have been about that time. Yes.
That's at least 4 weeks plus Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. So we followed it for the first couple of weeks. And then the season one just wrapped up. And I see a couple of people in here that we've read off before. So the real RC is the one that's in the first place position.
Was he winning?
I don't remember if they win anything.
What's the point in it? Come on. They must have won something.
I think it's just recognition. I don't know. To be...
Wow, don't
I don't know.
Wow, don't click the link. It's instant rimshot.
What?
I'm not kidding. If you click that link where it says, and the players are...
I see it.
It's like called instant rimshot. It's an instant drum roll.
It's a sound. It's just a sound.
I just had to click on it and it... I was just I'm not going there.
Yeah. And then the Blind Duck was another one. I think he's been kind of at the top for throughout every single week. And I think he was one of the... I want to say he was the only one that was the level 50 the first week. There was someone that was level 50.
Because I remember his name. I remember talking about him. Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah, he was. I believe he was the only level 50 the first week. And he ended up in the number 5 position on the top of the leaderboards.
They're not bad.
So no, I mean still.
I'd like to know how much he actually played after getting that 50 to get up to there.
Yeah, still to be considered into the top 10 of thousands of players that have played Team Slayer, it's still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And with how that ranking system works, that I still really don't understand how it works.
Oh, no one knows.
Yeah. Well, someone does because they came up with the algorithm for it.
No, they don't because the algorithm doesn't work. They don't know.
Anyways, moving on. The next playlist update for the rotational playlist is going to be SWAT. So we have some community choices up for display. SWAT CTF, SWAT Oddball, and SWAT King of the Hill.
Let me just say, SWAT King of the Hill, a waste of time. What's the point? The whole point of King of the Hill, you're supposed to be able to hold down an area. How can you hold down an area when someone can kill you in one shot? That's just idiotic. SWAT King of the Hill, nope. Move that out. SWAT Oddball... That has potential. SWAT CTF, there's no real difference to when they... You remember they had the lightning CTF?
Yeah, I hate...
It'll be exactly the same.
Okay, hate's a strong word. I really dislike that game type.
It's just silly because, you know, in one shot, you can do all that stuff. It's
ridiculous.
It takes out the whole point of playing CTF in King of the Hill if you do it with SWAT. SWAT Oddball might be interesting. You might hold it. You can hold it for a few seconds.
Well, SWAT CTF's a little bit different because you actually have to land a headshot. Where Lightning's CTF was, you could hit them anywhere on their body and they'd instantly die.
Even still, it's still annoying.
It's annoying, yes, but it's not nearly as annoying as Lightning Flag.
Oh, obviously, but you know, King of the Hill won't work. CTF quite like won't work. I don't feel Oddball has maybe potential, but again,
SWAT CTF could work. SWAT CTF actually could work. I think
not if you play against anyone who is half decent.
That and it depends on the map too.
Yeah, I guess it does depend on the maps they're using. What map is that on the left? That's not a map. That's just a picture.
That's just a picture for
picture. Yeah, that's not anything.
Yeah.
SWAT
Oddball. That kind of makes sense. It would be there'd be a lot of ball dropping though.
Actually, I'll tell you what that looks like, Dust. That building on the left looks very similar to the room that in Challenge Husky 6. Red.
Oh no. I was thinking more of the Husky Raid Room, but...
It also looks like that as well, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, King of the Hill SWAT just seems really, really hectic. I don't know why you would do that.
But, well, we'll see how it goes. I mean,
we'll see. You know, we'll see what the community has to say. I would, if I were voting, I would say CTF or Oddball.
Hmm.
And right now, the voting's on the Waypoint Forum, so I'm guessing whatever widget they used last week for... The voting options didn't quite work out because they're back to voting in the forums again.
Hmm. Who knows?
Yeah. Next on the bulletin list is Mortal Dictata is out on the bookshelves. So mine is still in the mail, actually.
I don't know what that is.
It's the third book in the Kilo 5 trilogy.
Exactly. I don't know what that is.
So, it's going to be wrapping up a lot of the things between the story between Halo 3 and Halo 4. So, we already had a podcast on one book, Glasslands, and we're going to have another podcast to cover these remaining two books. There's actually an interview with Karen Travis after kind of wrapping up with Moro Dictata. We're not going to talk about really much here because of potential of spoilers for people that haven't read any of the books yet and that may get spoiled by reading it. But it's if you've read the books, there's some things that they talk about from character development to references that they make with what's going on between Oni and the Covenant and a bunch of stuff on there. So if you want more information on a little bit more of the backstory behind the books, then definitely check out the interview. It's a pretty good read. And if you haven't read the books yet, then that was, if you don't want to be spoiled, and I'm one of those people that I don't care if I'm spoiled on certain things, but if you don't want to be spoiled, if you want to enjoy the books before reading the extra behind the scenes of the book stuff, then definitely read the books first and then come back to this interview later.
Spoiler alert, someone's probably going to die at some point.
Well, people are always dying. It's called the Halo universe.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Spoiler alert.
I don't think that's spoilers, dude.
I'm guessing from the cover of the front book, that Spartan from number one and number two is probably dead, and that's his daughter looking at his helmet.
No.
And the other guys are like, yeah, here's my
brother. No. Actually, I have a strong feeling I know what that's depicting, because I've read Glasslands and Thursday War. And Thursday War ends on the cliffhanger, and I think I know exactly what that picture
Does
is supposed Thursday to be about.
Does Thursday War happen on a Friday?
So it's not necessarily tied to a particular day. So, head hurts. next thing on the bulletin is another community interview by another forger. That's kind of been making the ways into the matchmaking maps, rotations, and he's done some 2v2 and 4v4 maps, some of which we've seen already in matchmaking. And he's actually made the Husky Raid map that's going into Action Sack now.
Hey, I'm going to get loads of kills on that.
It's not the same kind of Husky Raid that we're used to, Jack.
Boo.
There's a little more chance of survival, I think, in this one than there is in the one that we usually play. But he's created maps like the Ark, which has been in multiplayer before, which I personally don't like. I'm sorry to rat on the. I mean, he definitely has forging talent, but the Ark map I really just don't like. I don't know why, I just don't like it. But Black Sight, that's been in there for a while in Rumble Pit SWAT. It's been a flood map, and that one I actually like. It's on erosion. It's a symmetrical map, and it's. I like the design of that one. So Blackside, I'm okay with.
I played Blackside, but I don't remember the Ark actually.
The Ark's a more recent one.
Yeah, I don't think I played it.
It's been in Team Snipers, Team Doubles, and
apparently was used in the European I-50 Winter Championships.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Really?
I didn't even know that Halo was at the IA series.
Well, there you go. Nah, you do.
Huh. Well, how about that? And then Meta Raid is the Husky Raid map that he's made for Action Sack, so that's in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Capture the Flag game type if you guys haven't played with us on Wacky Wednesdays or don't know what Husky Raid is.
Wacky Wednesdays!
Wacky
yeah.
Wednesdays! The interview kind of goes on to, of course, go into how he got interested with Forge, what kind of maps he primarily works on, which is 2v2s and 4v4 competitive maps.
Oh, bugger.
What?
Didn't he drop something? Sorry. Keep going. No.
So he's in there talking about his experiences with the Forge system, what he has to say to other people that are looking into getting into Forge, and his projects that he's been working on. So if you want the full extent of the interview, definitely check out the bulletin for this week, and you can get some screenshots of some of the stuff he's been working on, and of course get a glimpse of his Meta Raid map in Team Action Sack. Need to go in and try that. We need to play that one at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Screenshot spotlight for this week is explosions, and I I'm going to pull out a Borderlands reference. Explosions? So
I'm gonna pull out an Old Spice reference. Explosions!
Oh, yes. Yes, that guy too. Oh, that guy's a good guy. Old Spice commercials are always something that that are interesting to watch. For these, I almost like all of these. There's something just about explosions in Halo that are just awesome.
Tell you what, Rockhart looks good.
The which one?
Rockhart piercing.
Why am I missing? Oh yes, the green one. That one's really, really cool. I'm wondering how they got that effect. I'm guessing it's just a bunch of forge pieces and someone just like quit a game or something.
Okay, let me have a look. Oh, I have to download it. Okay, I'm gonna have a closer look at this.
It looks like forge pieces.
They certainly are. They are forge pieces.
It's still cool though. It's really cool. But I mean, a lot of these are really good. Screenshot by Persecuse, versus Mantis, Infrared, Blame, Flutter Time. Oh gosh. By USMC Fluttershy. Oh my goodness. Icarus by Z6 Nitro, Big Team Infinity Slayer by Mark83. I mean, the only ones I kind of don't really like too much is Fusion by Nivek12 and Bounty Hunter, but all the other ones I like pretty much.
Well, there you go.
Really, partying kind of funny. Because this is the Griff Ball effect and then just explosions around him.
Yep.
They know how to party.
Indeed. Party, party, party.
Party, party,
we're gonna party.
On a party all night
long. Friday morning.
Oh, gosh.
Friday morning.
Yes. It is Friday morning.
Yep.
Wow. All right. Well, that wraps it up for the bulletin this week, guys. Thank you for checking it out with us. We got some Halo news that came out over the last week as well. It's most likely that we're going to see Halo news pop up every single week, which is going to keep us giving you guys some good podcasting content, hopefully. And Brent should be back next week, so you'll have him to hear from and get his views on a lot of things that have happened over the next 3 weeks, or the last 3 weeks.
You won't have me.
Probably not. I was actually surprised you were still up, to be honest.
Hey!
Because it's now 5:16 where you are right now.
Yep.
Early in the morning, and there's the yawn. So with that said, thank you guys for coming and listening to our podcast. Remember, you can find us on our homepage, podtacular.com, and find our social media sites on there as well, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, the whole nine yards. You can listen to our podcast live on Thursday nights, usually at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's when we do our live recordings of the podcast. And you can also check us out on Wednesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, which is when we do our Wacky Wednesdays and we get some Halo 4 customs going for everybody. And in the case that we don't have enough people to fill a lobby, then we usually go in the matchmaking, as we had to do for the last couple of weeks. But not to worry, we have some new custom game types that I've downloaded that I want to try, so it's not going to be some of the stale ones that we've been playing over and over again for the last 4 months or so. So definitely come check us out. We got some stuff kind of going on. Little things here and there. Hoping to add some more things here within the next 3 or 4 months. So definitely keep tuned to us. Remember, you can send us any submissions that you want to have read on the show, whether it be a interesting experience that you had in the game, whether it's that you're making a map, a machinima that you've made, or something that you just want to share in general that's Halo newsworthy. Send it to us. You can do that by using the submit button on our homepage, or you can send it to us directly to submissions@podtacular.com. We also have a voicemail, 240-200-HALO, where you can leave a Halo-related message there as well. About 90 seconds long should do the trick. And remember to check out our sister podcasts on the Podcast Network. That is CritCast and ReachCast. So CritCast is the Halo 2 the TF2 podcast. And then ReachCast is the PlanetSide 2 podcast. So we're the only podcast in there that's not related to a number 2 directly in the podcast network. So definitely check out our sister podcasts. We are looking to do a joint podcast here probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks. So make sure you don't miss that as well. And definitely check out our fellow Halo podcasts. There are quite a few of them out there. There's Griffball Hub. There is
Finish Tonight.
Drunken Halo, there is PGCR, there is Ford and Done, there's Halo Gaff, there's the 343 Sparkcast whenever they do a podcast, and a few other random ones that are out there as well. Probably that
Jack Bar and Dressing Hour.
That's not a podcast. That's just your fantasy.
Yay.
Sorry to burst your bubble.
No.
Yeah. Jack has issues. Not really. Well, maybe. I could be joking.
Who knows?
So, and while he's here, make sure you stay tuned to thehalomole.com. We are in full production mode, working to get some of the content out to you guys as quickly as possible. So we're really excited to show you guys what we have in store, and really happy to see some of the feedback that we've got, and hoping that this is something that, given good feedback, we can do again for Halo 5 when it comes out. So definitely make sure you are following us there on thehalomole.com and Twitter and the YouTube site as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I believe that's it for tonight. So Jack, thanks again for coming on and filling in the spot for Brent temporarily, keeping the seat warm for him until he returns.
We're not using the same seat, but okay.
How do you know?
Oh.
With that said, everybody, have a good night and keep on fragging those bees. Keep on fragging bees, I guess, in general.
That's mean. Yeah. Don't kill bees.
We're not killing them. We're fragging them. There's a difference.
They're throwing grenades at them. I mean, that's one thing.
But they're friendly Xbox frag grenades. We're keeping on fragging them. That's a good thing.
See, that's so cruel.
Anyways.